It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? In the book of John, John chapter 15, we're going to read the first 8 verses of John chapter 15. Please open your Bibles and follow along with me as we study His precious Word today. Again, this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It is a wonderful time to study the Word of God, the truth, that we may know exactly what the Word tells us. Please, that you follow along very carefully and very closely as we read the Word of God. Now, John chapter 15, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the precious word today. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come into the house, come together and study your word, Lord. It's wonderful that we can come together. And as believers, no matter where we're located, we are part of the church. So please, Lord, that you will guide and lead us as we study this precious word, that we may know more and more about you, Lord Jesus. We're speaking here of the vine. We are talking about believers, true believers, ones that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And please, Lord, guide and lead us that we may know your word, know your will, know how to come to you, Lord Jesus, and be saved. Know how to be fed and the need to feed upon your word each and every day as we're together. So please now, would you guide and lead us as we study your precious word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We started last time, or ended last time, I guess, with covering just a little bit concerning the vine. And as we look to the scripture verses here, we need to understand, or as we looked at three different vines that are spoken of in the scripture, these three we're going to cover just for a few moments so that you can see the difference. In verse 1 of chapter 15, I am the true vine, the scripture tells us. Well, let's look back to Psalms. Let's go to Isaiah. I like Isaiah. And we're going to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And as we look at these verses of Scripture, we are talking about a certain vine at this place. And please read along with me. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. It'd be verse 1 and verse 7. Now will I sing in my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Now to the 7th verse. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. And so in the scripture, and we have in Psalms chapter 80, and here in Isaiah chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 2, Hosea chapter 10, all speak of the nation of Israel being a vine. And so that's one of them. Now, here's where we started last time, or ended last time, and that is in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And we're going to look at another vine, and again back in John chapter 15, verse 1, it speaks of a true vine. Well, we've looked at the nation of Israel concerning Isaiah, Psalms, Jeremiah, and Hosea. Now we're going to look to Revelation chapter 14. And Revelation chapter 14, we're going to find another vine. Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 14 over to the end of the chapter, verse 20. Revelation 14:14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, which is about 175 miles. If you'll look in verse 19, Revelation 14:19, and gather the vine of the earth and cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. This world, the unbelievers of this world are considered and stated here to be the vine of the earth. This is a vine that will receive God's judgment. So we have two vines now. We have the vine being the nation of Israel back in Psalms and Isaiah. We have now the vine of the earth, which is the world, the lost world, those that reject the Lord Jesus, and they will face the judgment of God. Now, we have the last vine, and that is the true vine that is spoken of here in John chapter 15. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. The true vine. Now, as we look to and realize that as the vine speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this area of the Scripture speaking about our union, our living with Jesus Christ. So please that you follow very carefully as we enjoy this the precious Scripture here. I am the true vine, every branch in me, it speaks of here in the second verse. And so as we look at our relationship with the true vine, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, here in the 15th chapter, I want you to see some comparisons that we have through the Word of God. We have a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes the day we meet the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's when this wonderful union begins. But then there is a communion that follows that, a time of fellowship and of service. Union is the first step, communion is the next. We have many examples of this same relationship, the body and its members, the bride and the bridegroom, the sheep and the shepherd. Each one have a relationship, whether it be the body and the members, the bride and the bridegroom, the sheep and the shepherd. There is always a relationship there. It always had a beginning and then a continuing relationship. Marriage begins with a union. That's the common today. When you come together, we unite two people to become one. And so when that takes place, why then your walk begins. But it is a daily work for the communion. When you start with the union, yes, but that's not all there is. There is a communion that's involved, and it's a work that takes place, and it's a continuous work. Now, if we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're to enjoy this time of fellowship, I have a note here that says the branch is good for either bearing or burning, but not for building. We must allow the Lord Jesus Christ to bring the work through us, but we should be prepared to bear fruit, to bear works upon our union with Jesus Christ. A union is when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so please understand that we must join ourselves to the true light. As we look to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the place that we need to come for salvation, for our sins to be forgiven us. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary that you and I can live. Please, that you look to Jesus today for salvation and Him alone. He is the true vine. We've had the vine of the nation of Israel. We've had the vine of the earth, but here is the true vine, the one that would bring life and salvation into us. We have a couple examples in the Scripture of something that is true or genuine, is another word for the word true. But the word is in chapter 1, verse 9, where he speaks of him being, Jesus himself, being the true light. In chapter 6, verse 32, he is the true bread. Here in chapter 15, verse 1, he is the true vine. He is the real one, the genuine. The nation of Israel is not the genuine or the real vine. It is spoken of as a vine, but the nation of Israel is not the true vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. If you'll look at the very beginning of chapter 15, we must see that. We must recognize that I am the true vine. It's wonderful to look to the Word of God. As we continue in the first verse there, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Many times in the Old Testament, God is the owner, would be the owner of the vineyard. Jesus speaks of himself being the vine, but the Father, God the Father, is the keeper or the farmer, the one who takes care of the vineyard. Jesus is the vine, God the Father is the caretaker of the vineyard, and you'll find that we are the branches. And so we have the caretaker of the vineyard, which is God the Father. We have the vine itself, which is the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the branches, which is every true believer. Everyone that has come to the Lord Jesus by faith is the true believer. So it's so important to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in Him, to walk after Him, and have your sins forgiven, and begin this wonderful time of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Again, get this in mind. God the Father is the farmer or the keeper of the vineyard. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. Why is it necessary for the branches to be joined to the vine? The Scripture tells us in verse 2, every branch in me. That means saved. In me. That means saved. Now we can go back to the 14th chapter and the 20th verse. We have, at that day we shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. We were talking about the Comforter coming, the Lord Jesus Christ himself going back to be with the Father. And when all this takes place, you will realize what's happening. And please, but this is in me, the Scripture keeps saying, the Lord Jesus himself keeps saying, in me. It's so important that you realize the need to be saved. Too often today we have missed salvation. We have missed the most important part of any person's life, and that is the day that you confess your sin and come to Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus died on that cross for you. He took all your sins away. But unless you come to Him by faith and believe in Him as your Savior, as God, and there's a time you will recognize that, because there's something that takes place the day that you meet Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you, the Comforter, in me. And we are in Him. He is in us because we come by faith to Jesus Christ. The day that that happens, your life will begin to change. Some people's lives are totally transformed immediately. Some begin to change so slowly, but there is always a change, because you cannot come to know God truly and not have a change, an everlasting change. It's wonderful to walk after the Lord Jesus. That doesn't mean people don't walk away and backslide, but there is a change in their life. And I'll guarantee you, if you know Jesus Christ and you're walking away from Him, you are miserable. Saved in me, the Scripture tells us, means to be saved. Let's look at the 17th verse, John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knows Him. The reason for this statement right there is because of so many folks, and maybe you're one of them, that has said, "Now, Larry, my church doesn't teach that you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It teaches that if you come to church, you're baptized, you're faithful to the church, then you are saved, and that's all you need to do to go on to heaven." That's not all you need to do. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And those other things are extras, over and above, beyond, but not for salvation. Salvation is by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. Will you please believe? This scripture verses here are spoken to the saved. Jesus is not talking about salvation, but about bearing fruit. Keep that in mind as we look at the relationship between the vine and the branches. Because you must come by faith to Jesus Christ, that's salvation. But after salvation, there's the joy of bearing fruit. Now, this section of Scripture here in chapter 15 is speaking to the saved. Those, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husband. Every branch in me, I want you to see that, because if you haven't come by faith to Jesus Christ, this does not apply to you. And you have to always keep things in the proper order when you're studying the Word of God. Otherwise, they could become confusing. I want it to be straight with you. I want it to be clear with you. I want this to come with the person that knows Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't know Jesus, here you are over in verse 17, John 14:17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knows Him." If you do not know the teacher, the Holy Spirit, and the reason you would not know Him is if you have not come by faith to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus today. Be saved today and begin to learn the Word of God. This is speaking clearly to those that are saved. Now as we begin with this second verse, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now as we've talked about before, we have four different levels here. We have one of not fruit or no fruit. Fruit, more fruit, and then if you will look to the end of chapter 5, and then also in the middle of, verse 5, not chapter 5, this is John chapter 15, verse 5, we have much fruit, and then we have it repeated again in the 8th verse, the middle of the 8th verse, much fruit. So you have no fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, as it's spoken of here. Now the levels of fruit bearing are fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Now, when we look to the second verse, though, if you'll notice, it begins with a very sad statement, because it says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away." Every branch in me, saved, that beareth not fruit, he takes away. The scripture, again, is not talking about salvation. We're not speaking of salvation here at all. We're talking about works. We're talking about fruit. We're talking about fruit. Something that comes because we are saved. Fruit. We should enjoy the Word of God. We should love to hear the Word of God and fellowship in the Word of God. But so many times, and normally it's because of a person that is not fed when they're saved very early in their life. Or they end up in a church that believes in telling people how to be saved, but they do not teach the Word of God. Now, there's many places today and many churches today that do not teach the Word of God. Their fear is to go into a deeper life, a deeper religion somewhere along the line, and lose sight of the need for salvation. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ. And then you must begin to feed the sheep. If you do not feed the sheep, then you'll find that they'll just keep wandering off all the time. But if you feed them, you will begin to realize, and I'm speaking to you preachers of these churches, pleased that you realize that upon feeding verse by verse the Word of God to these people, they will fall more in love with the Lord Jesus. They'll begin to grow, and they'll begin to go out and witness to their friends, their families, their neighbors, and reach those people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we should always be a witness, always giving out the salvation message, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Not a message I preach from the pulpit, not a time that I'm not teaching on Sunday night, on Wednesday night. Whenever I have an opportunity to open the Word of God, you'll always hear from my mouth the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, because it must begin there. But we must also be fed upon the Word of God. And if you refuse to learn the Word of God for whatever reason, whether when you were first saved, you didn't go to church at all, and so all this time you have never been fed, well, come into the house of God, come to where the Word of God is taught, and then take your Bible, open your Bible, enjoy that fellowship with other believers, and you'll begin to be fed. You've been starved to death. Well, a plant that is starved, a plant that doesn't receive any nourishment, it's not long it's going to die. And that's what's going to happen if you don't produce fruit. Now, loss of salvation? No. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary that you and I can live. So not the loss of salvation, but the loss of fruit bearing. You will no longer have the opportunity to bear fruit. And the sad thing is that it comes even to the place, the possibility of losing your life, your physical life, not your spiritual life. And it would be a very sad thing for your life to be cut short from God's original plan for your life. And because of your ignorance and your desire to not study the Word of God, to not stand upon the Word of God, to not follow after the Lord Jesus, and you are so disobedient, and you've been chastised many times, because that's what comes through the purging, as the Scripture calls it here, as we will enjoy the Word of God. Upon listening to the Word of God, upon enjoying the Word of God, there'll be times that God will speak to your heart. Do you listen to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and abide in Him, follow Him, or do you follow your own ways? Again, this Scripture is not talking about salvation when it tells us here, every branch in me that beareth not fruits taken away. Then the sixth verse, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch is withered, men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is talking to saved people. The Scripture is very clear that you do not lose your salvation, but there is a loss of benefits. There is a loss of the opportunity to produce fruit, to bring honor and glory unto God. And then when we stand before God in judgment, yes, you'll be in heaven. Yes, you'll be there eternally. But you're going to have to answer for what you did or did not do in His name. And this is what's going to happen here. And there can be a person, according to John, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, that you can even lose your life because of it. Now, as we look to the Scripture here, it tells us that we're to produce fruit. Now, we need to look. What is that? What is fruit that He is speaking of here? I believe that the fruit that is spoken of in this Scripture verse here is none other than Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to turn there with me to Galatians chapter 5, that you can see very clearly what the Lord has for us. And it's such a wonderful life that He offers us if we will come by faith to Him and be saved, and then begin to walk with Him. Abide is the word is used here. Another in the 15th chapter, verse 9, is to continue, still means abide. And chapter 15, verse 11, the word remain means to abide. And this all means to stay. Keep in fellowship with Christ. Keep in fellowship with Him. Communion, as we talked about just a little bit earlier. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit We're talking about fruit bearing. Bearing fruit, the fruit bearing of the believer. One that brings forth fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. What a wonderful person, what a wonderful individual, what a joyful individual you will be, and how nice will you be to those around you when you come by faith to Jesus Christ and then begin to abide in Him, continue to follow His way, be obedient. Obey is the best word. First comes the union. That's when you come by faith to Jesus Christ. But then if you lack the communion, that's the reason we have such a high divorce rate today, because there's no communion. There's no fellowship. There's no working things on a daily basis together. And here we need to do the same thing with the Word of God. You need to go into the Word of God every day to listen and learn from Him, that you may work a work that's pleasing to Him. Continue, remain, abide, commune. All those words come right down to one thing, and that is we need to obey Him. And when we obey Him, then this fruit will come from us. And look at this beautiful fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Wouldn't you love to be an individual such as that? Wouldn't you like to know someone that's that way? Well, every person that's come by faith to the Lord Jesus should be and can be. We have the power and the strength to produce that fruit. And so it's so important that you realize what can come when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, how that we can walk with Him, how that you can serve Him. The fruit of the Spirit, as Galatians chapter 5 tells us. Now, once again, I am the true vine. We need to attach ourselves to the vine. My Father is the husbandman. This is the first verse. Second verse, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. You lose the opportunity to produce fruit, and you could lose your life. But you are losing fellowship, precious time and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father, because you will not obey. You will not follow. You'll not continue. But every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. Okay, to purge it again, there is a time of cleansing and washing, and this word purge here means to cleanse. And so as we grow, how else are we going to grow unless we become clean, get rid of the old self, rid of the old flesh and the old ways, and be following the true light and watching the Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a joy to know that He is the true light, He's the true bread, and He's the true vine. And when we attach ourselves to Him and begin to follow, there's going to be a growing time. And is that growing time that is a washing time, a purging time, that it may bring forth more fruit. And again in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How do we get clean? We get clean by going into the Word of God, seeing what God's will is, and following it. That's how we become clean. And so, we have every branch that in me that beareth not fruit, He takes it away. Be careful, my friend. If you say you're a believing Christian, and you're not serving Him, and you lack these qualities, begin to go into His Word and surrender to Him. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it. He cleanses it. He washes it. And it does that by His Word. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. What a wonderful scripture verse as we read, and we'll begin there. Next time we come together, we've looked at the fruit, we've looked at the vine, and we're going to look now at our connection with that vine and our need to follow after that vine. It's so important that you've come by faith to Jesus Christ. If you haven't come today, confess your sin, ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?